Welcome to Ring Talk, episode 100 and, did you say 53, Steve?
Yeah, 153.
153 episodes it is. Now, granted, there was that down period where Kev had to step in for a little while, but we picked it back up and it's on the rise again. We love you, Kev. 153 of Ring Talk, Goodwin Boxing's weekly-ish TV show. How are you, Steve?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Been away for a week on holiday. We're back to normal. We're busy signing fighters. We're busy making title fights. We're busy doing everything we should be doing. And all ready to rock and roll for the next 3 weekends.
Brilliant. And congratulations to your daughter, the queen of Goodwin Boxing, Olivia, who got married in the... one of the reasons we've been away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But for those that are down at Goodwin shows, you'll see Olivia. She promotes for you. Been off getting married to Kieran. So congratulations to them both.
Who's cameraman at Boxmania?
Yes. Yeah, up on the side. Lovely bloke, Kieran. So, yeah, chuffed to bits for you and for them and all
that's
of
been
it.
Brilliant. Been brilliant.
But you've been busy. You're just telling me the inquiry's coming in. I mean, we'll come on to the show shortly, but what's going on at Goodwin Boxing sort of generally?
Generally, we are inundated with new boxers wanting to come on board. It's been interesting. We've been receiving messages from people that were going to sign with us but didn't, and telling us about false promises. You've seen the messages we've been getting. So it does seem to be that people are, you know, we're really in demand now because we do the job honestly. There's no bullshit. There's no lying, and people get, you know, what we do. What it says on the tin, and it cycles boxing. We sort of surge, then it flattens because other people come in and promise things that are not, and then all of a sudden we're surging again, and we're definitely in a big, big surging period at the moment.
Yeah, and you're right. It's sort of cyclical. I always think back through those careers that you've resurrected, and sort of one of the names, I won't say it, but one of the ones that we were chatting about the other day over text that sort of said they wish they'd come to you. I don't understand why more don't. And I'm not saying that to blow smoke up your ass because sat on this call, but when I think back through those sort of the higher level, bigger names that have come to you over the years, sort of probably started off with Buglioni, who you got to fight for a career high payday, British title on Sky Sports. Waddy Camacho, you got to fight for a British title on Sky Sports, Commonwealth champion by the time he'd retired. Derek Chisora, you got back into that Dillian White pay-per-view mix. And now we've got Zach Celli that we can come on and talk about, that you've sort of taken his career already and sort of got him back into that TV show. I don't understand why more boxers don't pick up the phone when the opportunity arises and give you a call. But part of that, let's talk about Zach and his latest opportunity.
So 20th of January, he takes on Jack Cullen for the British and Commonwealth titles up in Liverpool. Very, very confident he's going to win. He's got a new trainer now, Barry O'Connor, who I've got the utmost respect for. I think you'll see a better Zach Celli. I think sometimes you just need a change. It doesn't mean that who's training you before is no good, but sometimes a change is a really good idea. I think this is the case when it's going to be proven. We've got bigger plans than the British title. We want to beat, our plans are, beat Jack Cullen. Then we want to beat, who's that other kid, the big one, the Sky, just had a brainstorm with the name, the knockout artist.
Callum Simpson.
So we were going to, the plans to beat Callum Simpson, then go and deal with Mark Jeffers, get the revenge with Mark Jeffers. That'll be all three there done, and then move on then to much higher level. And we think we're going to do it. We just want to get through those three first. Doesn't matter in which order. And then the plan will be the three of them, and then move on to bigger and better things. And we've got it all mapped out. We know exactly what we want to do. All Zach's got to do now, do the job on the 20th of January, which I'm sure he will.
Yeah, so that's the rematch, isn't it? The first one was, that was it. Eddie's Garden, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, I remember that. Finished a draw.
I think you're gonna see a big improvement from Zach Celli. And the big improvement will be the difference. The older Zach Celli, when he fought, that'd be another tough fight again. I think that the I've got a lot of respect for Jack Cullen, but I think this will be fairly lopsided.
Good. We'll see if the changes Barry O'Connell makes down at State of Mind pay off, which hopefully they do for Zach. And that'll be on the undercard of Natasha Jonas versus Michaela Mayer.
It's not a bad little fight, that. I quite like that fight.
Really good fight.
I like that fight.
I just like watching Natasha fight. I think she's great. Personality.
Mayer's a good opponent. That's a proper fight, though. I really like the fight.
Yeah.
And, I don't think it was that. I mean, I don't think the Sky's show that last week ended up being that great. But I think they're building up some better cards, I think. And but they do need to really step up in 2024.
Yeah, I think we're sort of seeing progress through Sky. I like that they're seemingly investing in a bit of Tyler Denny. We've seen Tyler up close, mm-hmm. seeing what he's about, sort of. He's a man who deserves a break and a bit of investment. Totally. Winning that European title. Adam Azim looked very good at the weekend. I've got to confess, I didn't watch any of the rest of the Sky card. I was all over on BT.
Yeah, so was I. Yeah.
The timings worked out quite well between the fights that you could switch over to those.
The BT show was by far the better show of the two last week. I thought there was some really good stuff on there.
Yeah, there was. We can come on
to that when you want, but I also think there's some overrated people on that BT card that really I thought were pretty awful. But there were some really good fights and some good performances as well. It was a good show. It was a good show.
We'll come back to that. Before we do, let's give a quick mention to December 2nd, Boxmania. We're going to cover that in depth next week. But we're at four title fights now for Boxmania. We've had a couple pull out, unfortunately.
Yeah, four title fights plus the big ones, Yusuf Kamari, obviously, TV fight, been on TV. Lioness Stoffi, been on TV. The new Albanian king, he's called the Ilirian Warrior. He's sold really well. The atmosphere is going to be rocking in there. I mean, it's going to be, we've got something. I mean, ringside is now, I think, sold out. I think we've got no more than 20 tickets now left, generally. So it's a sellout. And, It's going to be a brilliant atmosphere, brilliant show. We can talk about more about that next week.
Yeah, we'll cover that more next week. You've got the upcoming show this weekend at York Hall.
Yeah.
Headlined by another sort of new fighter that you've taken where he was maybe discarded by others. Is that fair to say about Bilal Fawaz? You know, sort of he took a loss and wasn't viewed with any great value. And then you've taken him, you've got him an area title shot now.
Now, it's at a weight above. He's really naturally a super welter, but he's getting older now, Bilal, and we therefore took a fight a weight above. And he's fighting Gideon Inyani, who's a really decent fighter. And, you know, it's not easy. I mean, we think but he's got to take his chances. And I think at the end of the day, coming up 6 pounds, you know, he was a brilliant amateur.
Yeah,
and coming up 6 pounds, well, I think he's good enough to win this and move on. And whether we drop down in weight after this, that will probably be the case. But we'll go where the opportunities are. That's what we've got to do with him.
And he's not getting younger, is he? It's not disrespectful to say that. It's sort of the opportunities need to be grabbed at this point.
Yeah, we've got to go in whichever direction. So that's my job steering him. But that's a really good fight this weekend. There's some other really good talent on there as well. Giorgio Isala. ABA champion. Really, really good kid, this. Really good. He won 17 out of 20 amateurs. Limited experience, won an ABA title. Really decent. And he's fighting Jordan Granham, but I'm really looking forward to seeing him. Pat Gill has his first six rounds. He's undefeated in six. Really, we've got to move Pat towards a Southern Area title next year. He's doing Fons Alexander, so... you know, that's great. Ellis Stewart.
I was down watching him in the gym on Sunday.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He was sparring a very, very good amateur down there, actually. Should have got his number for you. See if he...
he knows, I'm sure if he's down that gym, he knows where to come.
Yeah. But no, he was looking good, Pat. Looking really sharp. Got a good few rounds in ahead of the Fons Alexander fight. chatting with Andy Gill, his dad and trainer, and Andy's a great man in terms of he knows a lot, but he's not afraid to ask questions and sort of ask for others' opinions on things. I was chatting to him, you know, I've seen Fons fight probably 30 times down at York Hall, sort of ask for others' opinions, and so you can see that he molds an idea around it, or you can see why he's building such a strong stable down there. Very, very good fighters, very good setup, really impressed Bill.
No, he's done well, so he's on. Eddie Stewart, now he's had five, he's now having number six. He had a bit of a scare in his last fight, but you know, he's learning on the job. He didn't have a lot of amateur experience, but he's having bout number six. He's fighting Ian Morrell. Sher Khan, he's had four. He's on to number five. He's fighting Jack England. Fred Secular's only having his second fight at Super World. He's talented, so he'll be decent. Lewis Oakford's on fight number four. We've got to get his numbers up, Lewis. He wants to fight for a Southern Area and do titles, but you've got to get the numbers of fights in to qualify. That's what he's trying to do at the moment. Dalton Miller's coming back after 2 years out and a Southern Area title shot. He wants one more title shot. He's taking on Martin Shaw. If Dalton comes through this, we hope to move him on to a title shot in the first half of 2024. That's what he wants. That's what we're going to try and deliver. And two fighters that are not ours, Jordan McIntosh from the Alex and Sab Leo stable in Hoddesdon. He makes his debut. And a John Edwards fighter, Joseph Abercrombie, he's having his third contest. So it's really a baby show, a lot of prospects. The main fight is going to be a cracker. And the rest of it is you're seeing fighters that are developing and coming through to titles down the line. I'm not going to try and say we've got four, five, 50-50 fights here and try, you know, a lot of promoters, you look at a card and they claim it's full of 50-50s and it's BS, it's rubbish. I'm not going to claim that because, and you see these cards, they go, oh, we do full of 50-50s at York Hall. And you look at the card, you think, what a load of BS. What are you trying to spin shit like that for? This isn't that. This is a development show with the titles, with a title fight at the top of it.
Yeah, and you've been quite clear, really, about sort of the model that you're running, which is those sort of fight night series that are build-ups towards the Boxmania ones. The Boxmania ones, cracking. We were just discussing sort of before we started recording that although it's unfortunate two title fights have fallen through, there are so many that were planned from the beginning that actually, although it might be a bit disheartening, certainly for the boxers that are involved and for yourself, actually it's still an incredible show. That December the 2nd one. So
that's what Boxmania will always be. We're going to start off with six or seven title fights scheduled and hopefully end up with four or five every time minimum. And therefore, we're delivering shows that are far better, you know, the best small hall shows around with those Boxmania cards. And we're already building up the next one on 9th of March. We start to build now. And then fighters now aspire to get on the Boxmania cards. Fighters will ring me and go, can I get on the next Boxmania? So it will feature, the Boxmania will always feature those Linus Udovias, the Yusuf Kamaris, the known fighters who are waiting to go back on TV, plus the title fights. And then we'll selectively pick a couple of up-and-coming prospects. That's the idea.
Yeah, excellent. So we're going to cover that more in depth next week. Let's go back to the weekend just gone. The Magnificent Seven card, the Frank Warren one up in Manchester. Who were you most, like, rather than us running through all of the show, because there were sort of seven well-matched on paper, and that's all, always say you can only judge a card sort of prior to it happening, not afterwards. On paper, seven really, really good fights. Yes. Not all of them caught fire. I'm not going to talk about Solomon Dacres because that was garbage.
Wasn't that bad? My God, wasn't it bad?
Yeah. But that's okay. Like,
but he can't be okay and then come out and call out Fabio Wardley on a performance like that. I don't even think he won. I had Webster winning that.
I mean, it's okay in the sense of one fight was bad out of seven. Okay. The Hannah Rankin fight wasn't great. Okay. But on paper, those look like okay fights.
Yeah.
And so not to criticise them, I can criticise the performance, not the fights.
I agree. I think very quickly, Nick Ball looked excellent. I do think Isaac Dogba is shot to bits and gone, but Nick Ball was excellent. And I think he's exciting. And he's gonna go on to, you know, world stage. Liam Davis is all over exciting, got caught, dropped himself. I think He looked really exciting. I thought the Collins Miller fight was really good. Then I thought the Nathan Heaney is just a feel good story, isn't it? It's just, Nathan Heaney is a good guy, and so's Denzel, but it meant everything in the world to Nathan Heaney. It didn't really, Denzel's been there, done it. It was just a nice story to see Nathan Heaney win, and I thought he deservedly got the decision. Harry Scarf, unfortunately, is somebody that I'd probably go to make a cup of tea when he's fighting. He grabs, leans with the head. It's not good to watch. It's not great to watch. That's my opinion. He beat Echo Eisenman. I thought he deserved to win points, but not. He's not for me to watch. I mean, it's just the amount of time. I can't believe the referee didn't take point after point. He continually just went in with his head the whole fight, and the referee let him get away with it. God knows what that was about. But overall, as I said, the Nick Ball was great to watch. The Bentley Heaney fight was great. Liam Davis, all exciting. Collins Miller was great. So there was five of the seven I thought were good fights.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you may be being harsh on Isaac Dogba. He's just coming off the back of that Robesy Ramirez fight, isn't he? Where he gave an account of himself. I think Nick Ball will do bad things to a lot of people in his career. I don't necessarily think he's ready for that world title level just yet. But I don't know who else you'd put him in with that's above Isaac Dogba, but not a world title.
Before Dogba, let me ask you a question without looking it up. The last person to go the distance with Nick Ball.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Jerome Campbell.
Was it? How many? Was that a six rounder?
Eight rounder.
See, he got, when
he got dropped. That was during COVID. He got dropped, but he went the distance with him. Nick Ball couldn't stop him. So, yeah, and Jerome Campbell's one of the title fights on Boxmania.
Yes. Nick Ball, sort of to me, he came to consciousness. It was against Isaac Lowe, wasn't it? When they were sort of bringing Isaac Lowe back on the undercard of Fury Chisora, maybe. And they sort of introduced almost this Scouser that was a little wrecking ball. And he absolutely did a number on Isaac. And I'm not sure if he was meant to or not, sort of from a promotional perspective. But I have lots and lots of issues with Frank Warren in various ways. One thing that you can never, ever doubt is how good he is at building those careers. And you sort of look at how he's built Liam Davis. You look at what he's doing with Nick Ball.
Oh, look, there's nobody like Warren for that.
It's impressive, isn't it? It's brilliant.
I mean, sometimes does build them and then throws them away, Elisoro, to mention one, which to me is like insane.
Anthony Yard, Elisoro.
That's insane. But the build is fantastic. What he does for fighters is, you know, you've got to tell, he's the best in the business.
Yeah.
Just sometimes he has, it depends on whether you're the A-lister and he's going to continue building. Sometimes he builds you to a level, thinks, nah, maybe not, and then throws you in.
If I'm being honest, I thought that was the case of Nathan Heaney prior to Saturday night. They built
him.
Then they were sacrificing him to Denzel. And actually, I mean, what you said, from the moment his ring walk started, and I know he's sort of got that Delilah thing going on, but didn't he just look like he was having the best night of his life in every single way? And it was so sort of heartwarming to watch it.
I agree.
And that corner work, they were just inspiring.
He played the trainer, wasn't he? Weren't the trainer great?
Yeah. Steve Woodville, wasn't it? It was
brilliant.
Inspired him round after round to go back out there and sort of make him feel great to do the next 3 minutes. Just that was beautiful to watch, and sort of everything about it was just fun.
I mean, over on Sky, I think there were a couple of little shocks. Dylan Chima got beat, the Sky fighter, so I think that's him probably done as a TV unit. He's now been beaten twice. Tion Gibbs, the other one of the winner of the box tournament, he drew with a journeyman. I think he's where he is. React Paul wins by knockout, obviously. Tyler Denny as a Mazim. I mean, Mazim looks good. I don't know how good he's going to go, how good he's going to be, because you're talking about next level. You're talking about some very good kids, Dalton Smith and people like that. That's a big ask. Tyler Denny, though, is one of the stories of the last few years, which is phenomenal for him.
I do think Tyler Denny, Linus Yudofia, a rematch for European title would be good.
Tyler Denny's quite fascinating, isn't it, really? Because there were talk of, there's all the talk about Denzel Bentley sort of pre-Saturday night, and, you know, he'd fought Yanebek for a world title. Tyler Denny doesn't get his name into any of those conversations, no. And yet he now holds a more prestigious title than sort of Bentley has or Heaney currently does. But nobody seems to position him to be the next one to fight for a world title or anything like that. And I don't know what you have to do.
There, isn't he? He's getting there. He's getting there.
Yeah, I don't know what you have to do to achieve that. Sort of, I'd love to see him fight for one. In the same way, it was great to see Denzel fight for world title.
I did think, moving on, I thought the Reese Edwards, Brad Foster, I wasn't overly impressed with the decision on that fight. I thought Brad Foster won that. Genuinely, but yeah, the rest of it was journeyman fights, but yeah, it wasn't a bad card and it was better than some, but I just think Sky have got to up the level, but Warren seems to have the better talent pool so he can make the fights.
Yeah, and hopefully sort of Sky, as they establish some of those people that are coming through, will have a bigger talent pool, can make deeper and better cards. I'm willing to give them sort of a 12-month grace period still. It seems like they're repositioning themselves.
I agree. I think you can evaluate them more at the end of 2024. A lot will change. And
That's how I feel with them.
Things will improve. Right? They're going through the learning curve, the transition period. And I think they've made some errors. But I do think that there's, you know, possibility they can really start to make things work. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how it develops with obviously Hearn doing his stuff, which again, he's not really signing that many, is he? And it's going to be an interesting pull. But Warren's been very clever whilst Hearn's been off doing his stuff and Sky have been sort of not sure where to go. He's gone in and signed a lot of talent.
Yeah, and he's doing what he always does. You know, these Friday night York Hall shows that he does on TNT Sports, I'm sure they're not bringing in hundreds of thousands of viewers, but they're building those careers. And I like the fact that he gets it to a point. It's almost like your model with the sort of Box Mania one, but it's the TV level of aspirational to get onto the big cards. In the meantime, fill up York Hall on a Friday night. And, you know, sort of get the experience of it. And it's that career building that we said about earlier that is so impressive. You mentioned... Oh, actually, one more thing on that before we move on. New British middleweight champion, Nathan Heaney. They were talking about getting him a defence up at Stoke of the title before sort of maybe trying to move him on because he's towards sort of the mid-30 range. You've got fighters at that middleweight bracket, would you be trying to position any for a shot?
Yeah, well, the difficulty is Alina Shudofia, Brad Pauls are there. The problem that you have is if you do a voluntary, it's what paper you have to sign to do the voluntary. That's your problem here. Yeah. And yeah, that's the problem. So
yeah,
if you offered a clean fight with no
options,
massive options, then yeah, great. But if you're having to sign options and the next 3 years of your life away to do it, you might decide it's not worth it. We'd be very much interested in taking a fight if we don't have significant options on the table, for sure.
All right. We'll move on from that. Before we sort of close up, let's touch on boxing generally and sort of the biggest news that's come out since we last spoke. It's sort of a continuation of what we've seen, but Riyadh season. I don't even know what Riyadh season is, I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Not a clue.
Other than seemingly an opportunity to get loads and loads of brilliant heavyweights and make sure they don't fight each other. That's what I think Riyadh season is. So, December 23rd, what do you make of it?
Well, it's not as good as the card last Saturday. I mean, I think the best way you can look at this, and without anybody saying where anybody in boxing is hating on anything, go to the bookmakers and the odds of the fight and look at probabilities. Now, on that card, the Anthony Joshua fight is the closest fight of all of them. where Joshua is given a 77% probability of winning. All of the other fights on there have a 90% probability of one fight, at least a 90% probability of the one side winning. So we're talking about them boasting about a card, and only one fight has got less chance than it being a 90% result one way or the other. I don't care who's fighting who. If you're watching fights where it's a 90% probability of one person beating the other person, no matter what their name is, it's not a great card just because the names are there. And to me, that's just, I want to see good fights. Bentley Heaney, you know, which on paper was probably more one side. I mean, Bentley had a probability win of about 80%, something like 85%. And that was, but that managed on that one, it managed to turn it around. But generally, some of the other fights on the Warren card were like 60% chances of winning and 55% chance of winning. They are the fights I want to see. I don't want to watch a 90% probability fight. Not at that level. If we're watching the Friday night, like Warren's got one on your call this Friday, they're all 90% probabilities. Okay, we know what we're signing up to. They're building them for the bigger nights and great. But that is supposed to, is heralded, you know, riot season, everything like this. I mean, Opetaia, brilliant fighter. Elizondo. Opetaia's about a 99% probability of winning that fight. 98% probability of winning that fight. And probably a 95% probability of winning inside the distance. You know, is that a good fight to watch? Great that Elizondo gets his money, right? So I'm not saying that. And Ellis has, like, battled up through the small hall. You know, he deserves what he... Well, no, he doesn't deserve what he's getting. He deserves the money. I don't think he deserves what's going to happen, but he definitely deserves the money. But, yeah, but that's really... And 90, I don't... It doesn't float my boat, 90% one-sided fights.
And you know what? The worst thing is that Elizondo fight, to me, isn't even the worst fight on that card. Not when you've got Hergovic against Mark Demory.
Well, now that is a more one-sided fight. I agree. That's Mark Demory. Oh my God, he's bad. He's bad.
He was atrocious. He learned to box on YouTube, and I'm not sure he sort of continued his learning either. I think he just stopped at some point. But by the by, it's sort of. I don't wish to be sort of labelled as hating on it. However, to me, it can't be great if you put all those people together and they're not fighting each other. The best fight on there is Joshua Wallin.
Second best fight on paper, or I'm just looking at the odds now, is Dubois, Gerald Miller, where Dubois got an 80% probability. Deontay Wilder is around about 86% probability. Opetaia's 90-something percent. Bivol to beat Lyndon Arthur. My God, that's 95% probability. Sanchez to beat Farr, 92% probability. Hergovic, Demory is like 95% probability, 98. And then you've got Makhmudov against Ajit Kabayel. And Makhmudov is a 91% probability. So it's not that competitive, is it?
Yeah, and so from a fan perspective, I do not understand why fans are so in favour of a card where you've got Joshua and Wilder on it, but they're not fighting each other. Like, as fans, our job is to demand to see the best fights possible. And you've got these two people, both available on the same date, fighting on the same card, and they're not fighting each other. As fans... our job is to say, make those two fight. I'll watch it when you make those two fight. Not when one of them's fighting Joseph Parker.
You know what they're doing? If you go through it, Opetaia has been given what they consider a very soft thing for Zorro. Bivol against Lyndon Arthur. Lyndon Arthur was in trouble in his last fight. They're giving Bivol an easy pass, aren't they? The Brajal Mirror, that's sort of 80% probability, but that's a fight of some sorts. And the rest of them are just, you know, it's pretty... they're not great. I mean, I'm not saying... I mean, it's 2 days before Christmas. Will I watch it if I'm in? Possibly. But would I actually be desperate to not go out that night because that's on? Not really. I'd go out, you know? I'm not bothered. It wouldn't bother me to... I'd catch up the highlights or something. But, yeah, it's just a very weird card. It's just a lot of good fighters, but they should be fighting each other.
Yeah. It sort of... it feels like they put all the names in a hat and just drawn them out at random. And we've ended up with Wilder against Parker somehow, and Joshua against Wilder. And for some reason, Junior Farr's getting flown over, despite the fact he got flatlined by Lucas Brown.
Yeah.
For some obscure reason, Ellis Zorro's got a flight over there. I wouldn't even have Ellis Zorro in line for the British. I don't know how and why he's... Well, clearly you're going to be some regional title or whatever. And it's not to disrespect Ellis. It's just not his level. It's not his fight. It's not his area to be in right now. I'm sort of... Yeah, okay, it's brilliant. It's a spectacle. Fine. But as I say, I'll go back to the fact as fans, our job is to demand to see the fights that we want to see. There is not one person in the world who was demanding to see Wilder Parker or Joshua Wilding. So don't accept it. Don't accept it just because you've got all these names together. It's not, to me, it doesn't make it great.
Agreed.
But yeah, there we go. Yeah, other than that, that's about boxing tied up, I think, isn't it?
I think so. We'll see. We'll review this week and then we move on to the card on the 2nd of December, which is going to be amazing. And but yeah, I mean, there won't be, I can't imagine there'll be tickets on the door. So if you want one of the last tickets, go and grab them now, because the whole thing is definitely going to be sold out for sure.
Yeah, brilliant. Has John Bailey got in contact? Has he sorted out his tickets?
Yeah, he sorted
right. Brilliant. We'll see John down there for his prize. December 7th, I look forward to it. It'll be a cracking night of boxing.
Yeah, no, you wasn't there. You didn't see Dennis Balazzi fight, did you?
Which one?
The Albanian, the new Albanian.
No, I haven't. No.
You won't see what that's like.
Oh. Is it a new Florian Marku atmosphere?
Yeah.
All right, I look forward to it.
But he's restricted on tickets because we haven't got that many tickets to give him. Yeah. But he's just been demanding more, but he can't have more. But there are literally still a lot of them. But with obviously you've only got so many tickets to be able to allocate. But yeah, it's still going to be an amazing experience. Flags are everywhere, draped over banners over the top of the thing. The atmosphere is electric when
as it should be. Proper York all night.
Yeah. So that will be going on in between the title fights.
Wonderful.
And you've got to, you know, and Lauren Parker at last gets a big chance. World number 8 she's ranked now. And she gets a big chance of a big title. And, you know, she deserves it. And I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, she does. And, you know, sort of if she wins that opens up every opportunity for her, doesn't it? And, you know, she, as you say, nobody sort of deserves it as much as Lauren. She's a great girl, great trainer, great little fighter. Roll on December the 2nd.
Exactly. Brilliant. Cheers, Brilliant. Martin.
All right, Steve.
We will see you next week.